Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you with your host, Corey Smith. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and Apco Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with EasyCare. I'm pleased to welcome my guest today, Kaylee Filio, Sales and Marketing for Parts Edge. Kaylee, welcome to Forward.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, this is, I think we were just talking about this before we started talking right now, is that you've been on the show at least three times, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I have to say, I love the rebranding that you've done. I think we talked about it. You inspired me when I was thinking about rebranding my podcast. So you've done a great job with it.
Well, I had a lot of help. There's a lot of people in the back that the marketing team, as you know, you can't do a whole lot without the marketing team, right? They're the inspiration of all this. So this Forward is all them, and I'm just happy to keep pushing it. So thanks for coming on the show. We're going to title this episode Unlocking Profit Potential, the Crucial Role of Parts. We don't talk about parts enough, right? I know you've said it a million times. Parts is the backbone of the dealership, and we're going to talk about that. But before we really get in the meat and potatoes of this episode, Kaylee, tell our audience something about you that we don't know and what got you into the business.
Well, I mean, I feel like I'm such a simple, boring person, so I don't know if there's anything to share that people don't already know, because I feel like I share a lot on LinkedIn about my family, my life, and like I would have to say maybe this week it has been fall break. And for any parents out there that work full-time at home and their kids are home, I seriously question why I'm a mom.
It's a challenge, right?
Yes. I love my children, but I'm like, why did this happen? No, it really snuck up on me. And this is the first, my daughter's in kindergarten, so I'm not used to this all the school stuff. And, fall, I was like, they just went back to school. Why is there fall break? I never had that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to all the days off that you're going to get. There's every other month, there's at least two holidays and then a workshop.
Or a half day. Yeah. Like, what? Yeah. This is. That's kind of something about me that I question why I'm a mom. but how I got in the business is there's short story of I met the owners of Parts Edge through the Subway restaurant I was managing, and they asked me if I knew anyone that was looking, and they were asking me, so I started working for them. And what was really cool about when I met them, everything that they talked about inventory management in the car dealership, because again, you know, I'm coming from this restaurant Subway industry, 20 something years old, no auto industry background, but a lot of what they talked about and the passion and the level of expertise, a lot of it resonated with me, because if you've ever worked in a restaurant and had to manage inventory at a restaurant, it's very similar in a way that you have to be really efficient, and because waste is waste. You can't reuse waste in restaurants. So it kind of lines up with obsolescence and all that good stuff. So but long story short, that's how I got in, and I kind of never left.
I really love how you tied the two, because you're absolutely right. It's inventory, right? Your food is your inventory, and if you don't utilize it, you got to throw it away. Same with the tables, right? Those tables are inventory. If you're not maximizing and turning that table so another couple can come in, right? You're losing revenue, right? And same thing can be said for parts, right? If you're letting that part just sit on the shelf and not pay attention to it, it's collecting dust. It's not doing anybody any good, right? Mm-hmm. All right. I love that.
Just understanding how those parts come into your inventory. Because like in the Subway world, that was franchised. So they would force us to stock certain things because of a special they were doing. And it was always frustrating, because it's like that's not our market. Like we're not going to go through that much stuff, and you're making us stock this and pay for it. So a lot of it, I understand it, but it's such a small level because it's just sandwiches. It's not like someone's vehicle, but
the same thing. Let's do it. The manufacturer forces the dealer to take these parts or buy this scan tool or whatever, right? So it's very similar. I love that. I love your background. you know, I've always been a big fan of yours ever since, you know, I heard of you. I remember we didn't really physically even meet virtually until probably like 6 months later, right? And you've taken the whole industry by storm and just taken names. And I love to see your growth. I'm proud of you for, you know, breaking through the norm that we're used to and bringing a different light onto the industry. And I've always been probably your biggest cheerleader.
Thanks.
So the utmost respect for you and the team at Parts Edge. So let's just jump right into it. From your experience, how does the parts department directly influence the overall profitability of a dealership? And why do you think it's often overlooked?
Well, I want to back into that question because I want to start with the last part of it of, you know, why is it forgotten? And I think that it's forgotten because it's probably you have the least turnover in the parts department. Most of the time your parts manager has been there for 20, 30, some 40 years I've heard. So I feel like because of that, you just let them do their thing. Cause if, you know, if there's not a lot of obsolescence, if things are producing, there's not a lot of complaints, it's kind of like, it's just left alone. And typically the front, you know, GMs, dealers didn't come through that side. So they don't really, you know, they don't touch what they don't really, not that they don't know. I don't want to say they don't know it. It's just, you know, something that they don't come up from. And that, I think that's why it's forgotten. And then most of the time, 30 plus parts managers do a really good job. So it's not something you have to really like, really look at. So.
Right. And I think you're right. They know that the parts department makes them a profit, but mm-hmm. do they know the ins and outs? No, they're relying on somebody that's been there for 30 plus years. I got to assume you know what you're talking about and you know what you're doing because you've been here for so long. And sometimes that's not the case. They know the structure of it. They know their way of doing it. Mm-hmm. But if something were to happen, could the team pick up the slack and do it? Probably not. Right.
Most of the time not. Yeah. It's kind of a double-edged sword because it's like they're doing good. But I was just talking about this with you. Like, I feel like with me as in my position, I was doing really good. You know, Parts Edge is growing, adding dealerships, but I'm like, I need some help. Like I need some consulting. I need coaching. You know, I'm always looking at ways to be more efficient. It's kind of the same thing in anyone's role, especially a parts manager. We should be looking at ways to always be improving. And, it's a hard thing to, I think, admit that you need help. Maybe, I don't know. I kind of went through it was like, it's hard. I'm like, why do I need help? I'm doing good. But I'm like, but I also was really frustrated too, because I would present what we were doing to people that didn't really know, we didn't have like a mutual trust. And then they're just like, I don't really know what you guys do. And I'm like, okay, I think I need some help. I'm like, I know what we do. I don't know how to sell it.
Right. So
that's a challenge.
The overall profitability of the parts department could be anywhere from markup of 33 to 48%. That's the norm within the, you know, the national average, right? So if it's running, you know, at, let's say the guy's been there a long time, you know, a couple decades, and they're doing, you know, really good, and their year over year is okay, but they're not taking advantage of certain promotions or not paying attention to new trends. That's, I think, where you can come in and really show them and give them that coaching, right?
Yeah, that edge, I guess, is the right way. Cause it's like, yeah, things are always changing. The manufacturer programs are changing. There's a lot of data involved and lots of numbers with inventory and parts management, and, just getting a better way to see, how you can stock more efficiently. And that's really where the profit. So, the smart dealerships, they focus on their parts department as a profit center because it's a source that's feeding your service, that's feeding your technicians. So if you're more efficient and you have more of the right parts, then your flat rate hours are going to increase. Everything's going to increase because it's the core, it's the back. And it takes a lot to be really efficient and having more of the right parts because you can't be the depot. You can't have all the parts that they want.
Oh.
And that's the battle too.
It's impossible, right? So what key strategies do successful dealerships use to ensure their parts department operates efficiently and profitability wise? And can you share give me two best practices?
I think the best thing that parts managers, like when we do training, we always talk about the sources and how they're set up in the DMS, because that really helps the parts manager to control the inventory and see how to stock more efficiently. Because when you're breaking out the different types of parts into more sources, you can have different phasing criteria, you can have different pricing. And I think that's a strategy that we're constantly coaching on. And it can be a little scary, because I think a lot of times the DMS providers will set up a couple sources and it's hard to, get them all set up. So I think that's a strategy that has I've seen, like when we've done training and then have come back 6 months later, hearing the parts managers say like, oh, I really saw a shift and I brought in more stock, but it was like more of the right stock. So,
all right. I love that. So this happens in any industry, whether it's power sports, RV, marine, or auto, is that the dealership is trying to optimize their parts inventory and avoid common pitfalls like overstocking or dead stock, while ensuring they're meeting their customers' demands, right? So how can dealerships stay on the other side of that and avoid those common pitfalls?
That is something that comes with just staying on top of reporting. I know a lot of times the parts managers were constantly sending out the four stock reports and the detail of, so that they're staying on top of special orders, and really closely tracking, what I always call is like the buckets of idle inventory. It's not just obsolescence. It's the stuff that leads up to that. Cause once you're looking at obsolescence, it's almost too late. So you have to like look backwards and track the inventory categories and different buckets of like, your excess stock, your four stock, and then parts that haven't sold in the 6 to 12 month period that, before it hits the actual true industry standard of obsolescence.
Yeah, no, I love that. And the biggest constant is change, right? Everything is always changing and evolving. And if you really look at it, in your opinion, how can the service department and parts department work more cohesively to maximize profitability and customer satisfaction? Because that's why we're here, right?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is like for service, because a lot of times service doesn't know parts and parts doesn't like know service. Everyone knows their side. And I think for service to really understand, and even technicians, how they're impacting the health of the inventory by ordering the five parts for the job if you didn't really actually need the five parts. So I think like those mindsets and those things, like working together to understand things, because if you order the five and you only needed three, then the two go back, and it's like, just staying on top of that and making sure, because if you don't, you can order better parts if you didn't order so much of that stuff.
Right. So it's a balance, but it sounds like what you're saying too is that come up with a process where you're carving out some time, blocking some time out to go over your obsolescence, to look at your parts section by section. Is that right?
Yeah. And have the technicians and the service as part of that conversation, so they're understanding, it's because I think that I don't say that everyone thinks like this. I think what happens with service and technicians, that's the thing. They don't understand fully like what the manufacturer is doing on the background. They just think it's just ordering parts. I feel like that's what happens. And it's not that simple. There's a lot, there's an investment happening. There's, if you think of the thousands of dollars and thousands of part numbers, hundreds of thousands of part numbers, it's not just ordering parts. So
no, it's a math equation, right? And science, right? It's putting everything together to try to make this work. Because if I'm an owner and I'm giving my parts manager $1 million inventory, right? He's got $1 million of my money that's tied up. I want to get that back as fast as possible. Right? Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money tied up.
Yeah.
Well, I want those moving parts, and I want the teams to know exactly what they're doing. And sometimes in the dealership world, they don't want to ask because they don't want to seem that they don't know what they're talking about, or they don't understand. They don't want to say, I don't understand this program. Right. And I'm going to tell you guys right now that if you're listening and you're one of those people, and I was one of those people, you got to ask, because
you have to,
you're going to miss the boat. And give you a particular situation. I was a service manager. My parts manager was been there for a long time, you know, 30, 40 years, getting ready to retire. And we were in this room and we were with the manufacturer and they were telling us about all these new programs. And I said, I don't understand the programs on the parts side. I get it from the service department side, but I don't understand it from the parts side. And they explained it and really stepped us through it. And I wrote it all down. After that meeting, he came up to me. He's like, I've never asked that question. And I feel like I've been missing the boat. He then took the reins and maximized the program. He won a trip to Hawaii because of it.
Wow, that's so cool. I love how they do that with some of the programs.
Yeah, so you're missing.
As long as they're not making you stock too much parts.
Right, but you're missing if you don't ask, right? If you don't truly understand, ask. No one's going to think less of you. I mean, he felt empowered after I did that. And he wanted me to take the trip to Hawaii. And I was like, no, that's all you, man. I'm good right here. So let's shift gears here for a second and talk about distribution, right? While, you know, supply chain distribution can still be wonky, how should dealers adapt to the part sourcing and inventory strategies to minimize impact and maintain profitability?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, obviously strikes are happening as not often, but more than we'd like them to happen, or just even like natural things are happening and disrupting it. And the biggest thing we always get a rush of parts. Like, what do we do? What do we do to prepare? And I think the biggest thing is just looking at the numbers and doing the math and seeing how much day supply you actually need. I think rather than just like saying we need to bump it to like a 4 month supply of parts, it's more, most of our clients already had that. It's like, you already have it. You don't need to increase even more, because then you're gonna, it's a balance, and you really have to just be cautious of just taking the time to do about the calculation and not just jump the gun, I think, and be scared and just overstock yourself.
Right, because that's a real fear, right? As I'm gonna run out, and you don't want to be the dealership that runs out because the customer's gonna go someplace else.
Yeah.
How did Parts Edge handle the whole CDK debacle?
Well, I think with us and with our clients, we take backups of the inventory every day. So what we were able to do is provide an inventory pad to all of our parts managers. So they at least had that in an Excel form and knew they could look up parts. They knew they could find them. But there was definitely some things that we learned from, like, you know, having the matrix or the pricing for certain wholesale certain customers. That's not something we copy every day. But that was, I know I did hear from a lot of our parts managers, it was helpful to have that, because then everyone was kind of running blind with it.
Yeah, so, I bet. I can only imagine. I mean, we've working in a dealership many years, we've lost power before, but only for a few hours or maybe a day, right? Not, you know, a month, 2 months. I mean, that's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's so crazy. I mean, I haven't worked at a dealership, but we lost power at Subway several times, and it was such a pain to write. I mean, but I'm like thinking like so small, because I'm like, it's just a sandwich, just writing down this, you know, the sandwich and the bag of chips and the cookie, you know.
But don't forget the cookie. The cookies. Don't forget the cookies. I'm a big fan of the cookies.
I know. Oh man, they were very addicting when I worked there. I would just eat them raw, like the, you know,
cookie dough. Nice. Cookie dough. I see, that's something new that no one knew about you. Nice job.
Yeah, just ate the cookie dough.
So what common
mistakes? I didn't steal it though. I paid for it.
Just in case Subway's listening.
Yeah, just in case.
What common mistakes do dealerships make in pricing parts, and how can they adjust their strategies to improve both profit margin and the ongoing customer retention?
I think the biggest mistake is that it's not reviewed enough. There's kind of this like set it and forget it with pricing. Mm-hmm. And I think that it needs to be reviewed at least quarterly and adjusted. I think it always boils back to the sources, from what I understand. And here, if you only have a few sources, you can really sell-proof your parts by tweaking your matrix. You have to really look at the data because most of the time, the matrix isn't even actually working or or getting used in a way.
Right. It's just being forgotten, right? And you're losing money. And then, to the whole set it and forget it, you could price yourself out of the market or you could be below market. I mean, I've seen it on the service side where they've been charging this, like for 10 years straight, $89 for an alignment. But if you do a market check, your average is $129 for an alignment. So you're missing out on that because the customers are already paying that, right? So that's something that's very similar to both parts and service, right? How can dealerships better train their teams about these things, both service advisors and parts counter staff, to understand the financial significance of the parts department?
Training, hire coaches. I mean, it should be a constant conversation. I think everyone should understand the financial statement and how they affect it, because that is a big, because then I think once you understand that, then the decisions that are made are more like, oh, this is going to affect the rent, or this is going to affect, I shouldn't buy this because of that. I don't know. When you're more involved in the financials, you think about it like it's your own business in a way.
Yeah. And I think they all should think that, and that battle that goes between them is, you're right, they wouldn't make that mistake if they understood the financial repercussions. If I don't order the right part, or if I don't order it when they tell me to, and the customer comes in and then we have to pay $45 for a rental, who's paying for that? Right. Whose fault is that? Right.
Yeah.
That's a financial burden that if you do that enough times, that can add up to $5,000, $10,000 a month on those mistakes. Right.
Yes, it can. Yeah. And it's painful. And I think that's a lot of times, sometimes where the divide with parts and service happens too, because it's like, it was someone's fault and who's going to pay for it. And that also, that's another subject.
Yeah. We can have another podcast later about just that, right?
Yeah.
What trends do you see shaping the future of parts management in the automotive, RV, power sports, and marine industries? And how can dealerships prepare to stay competitive?
Okay, so I think the biggest trend is dealers and GMs are actually looking at their parts department. They're looking at their inventory. They're asking questions. It's completely shifted since, 5 years ago. I just conversations, I feel like I barely would talk to a dealer or a GM about their parts department. It would always get pushed like, oh, just go talk to my parts person. But now, maybe I've gotten a little bit better at the questions I'm asking, but I still think there is some more focus on fix ups as a whole and the parts department. So I feel like that's a trend that is a good trend that they're looking at it. And to stay ahead is let's learn from our mistakes, and not that they were horrible mistakes, but I feel like a lot of times parts people just get put into the parts management role because they're a good counterperson, and that's not a bad strategy, but giving a plan for them to be successful and understand the investment that they're controlling and impacting, I think is the biggest thing we can do to moving forward, is really giving them the support that they need, so that they can be parts managers. Or asset managers.
Yeah, because you're asking somebody to oversee $1 million, right? They better, that's a big gamble if you're giving that and you're not paying attention to that. And I think owners and GMs like dealing with the sexy stuff that they know all about, which is sales, selling a piece of metal, right? Running it through finance. That's gets their juices going. But for you GMs and owners out there, you really got to look at the business as a whole. Mm-hmm. And make sure that you're treating everybody as the same, and more cohesiveness is going to give you that. And I think, to your point, having somebody that is going to keep everyone moving in the same direction and knowing that it's being watched, there's accountability, there's support, there's coaching, there's no more yelling, right? I think those things are very, very key, right?
So they are.
I love where you're coming with this, and I'm a huge fan of Parts Edge as well. I think they do a really good job and educating and helping and just being that little boost that if you want more profit, right? And that's your plug right there. How's that?
Thank you. That was a good plug. I mean, that's exactly what we focus on. I think the worst thing, or the most, my biggest, can I even say this? I don't even know. But the thing that drives me nuts is that when I talk about Parts Edge to a parts manager and they're like, oh, this feels like it would be really good for a new parts manager. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, but I kind of like, it irks me because I'm like, you, if you already know, I don't have to, we don't have to teach you. Like, you could totally just.
No, it's true. It's I get it with advisors. I've been doing this for 20 years. I don't need training.
Yeah. What? That's crazy.
But if you want to be better, right. And I'm not talking 50% better. I'm talking 1% better every day.
Yeah.
That's the goal. And then by the end of the year, you're 364 days better than you were day one. Why wouldn't you want to be better? Why wouldn't you want to make more money? So when that parts person says that to you, this is what I want you to say to them. What would it look like if you did have us? How much more money would you be making? How more profitability would you have? How better would your CSI be? What would it do for you and your family? Ask them those questions.
Those are good questions. Yeah.
That gets them thinking like, holy cow. Because when I get that pushback from an advisor, I'm like, what if you did do it? What if you crushed it on the 15 ROs that you were writing up and you added one more thing on the repair order? What would that do for you? What would that do for your family? Would that allow you to buy a bigger boat, another lake house? Right. Think of those things. Put them in that place.
Yeah, that's a good way. Yeah.
Then that overcomes that fear that I don't know what I'm doing. Basically, what you're telling me, Kaylee, is I don't know what I'm doing and I need your help. Right. I've been doing this for 30 years. Go pound sand. take that and overcome it. Right. So we're right up against the time, Kaylee, but I want to get into these last few questions because this is already the episode of the year, right? I'm excited. How do you recommend dealerships strike a balance between offering OEM parts and aftermarket options to maximize profits while still meeting the customer's expectations?
You know, I think that they're coming to you for... Because I think what happens is there's this like, I don't want to quote too high, or they like, there's, I feel like it happens a lot. They'll just quote aftermarket because they're afraid of the price, but they're coming to you for the genuine parts. So I think the best strategy is to present both of them. Just this is the OEM, this is the aftermarket. Or I think even I've heard like they don't present it unless they ask. Right? Or is that probably a better strategy?
I like your original strategy. I like giving, because we all like choices, right?
Yes.
So if I say, hey, Kaylee, this is a widget that's made by somebody else that fits 20 different vehicles, and this is the OEM one that fits your vehicle, your year. It's $100 more, but it comes with a year warranty, parts and labor.
Yep.
Which one would you like?
That's the best way to do it. Exactly. Don't choose for them. Give them the options and they'll choose. I think by just giving them one option isn't the best strategy, because like you said, we like options. And
When you go to the grocery store, there's three different versions of milk, right?
Yeah. Just don't give them 10 options, because that's overwhelming. Yeah,
Just a couple, right?
I don't want like 20 different toothpaste to choose from.
No, that is confusing. I've done that.
I think there's more than that.
Yeah, there's a ton more than that. And I don't know which, I always choose the wrong one, right? And I'm like, and now I gotta wait until this one runs out. Yeah,
I know. And then like deodorant too. I'm like, do I want to try a new one?
Yeah, right.
Disappointed.
See, you get it all with Forward. You get to talk about cookies and sandwiches and deodorant and toothpaste, right? Kaylee, what are your three takeaways from this episode that a service advisor, a parts manager, an agent, or someone at the leadership at the dealership can use and implement right now?
I would say just go back to your, we're talking about parts. I would say go back to your parts department and really just look at your health of your inventory. You know, I think that the DMSs can break it down, And, you know, actually, I would like to offer this because I did it on another podcast. If you want to reach out for an inventory health analysis, reach out to me, because that's the best thing you can do, is really see where the health of your inventory is. And then you can actually make changes off those numbers. So I guess that's something you can't do right now, but we also have eBooks too. But I think just having the conversations with your parts department and getting them the support, because they're not going to ask for the help. Most of the time it's hard to ask for help. So yeah.
Awesome. I love that. How can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn, my first and last name, Keely Filio. You can go to partsedge.com. Those are the best ways to find me.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. EasyCare is a total performance provider working alongside your team to help achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealership. We are an award-winning provider and administrator of F&I products and can provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to help unlock the potential of your dealership. For more information on EasyCare or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Kaylee, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll ask this last question like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Yes, of course. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by EasyCare with Corey Smith. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.